everybody. Thanks for listening to my Monday midday monologue. My name is Russ, and every day I have a break at work between like 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I've decided to spend that time on Mondays reflecting on my experiences as an artist during the previous week and what I have coming up this week. And there's a lot coming up this week, as much as to reflect upon from the previous one. So let's dive right in. Last week, I spent a significant amount of time prepping my mini comic book series, Amazing Arizona Comics, getting issues together, generating some promotional material for the table I had at Phoenix Comic Con's Fan Fest. That was Friday through Sunday at Glendale's University of Phoenix Football Stadium. And I've been thinking about what to say about this show a lot, because it's easy to praise and it's easy to criticize Comic-Con experiences. And I want to do a fair share of both. And I want to say things that aren't said often. Fellow artists or Comic-Con attendees, Facebook or blog, and read the same old stuff about how great the show was or how organizers need to do this or that differently. I want to balance here, but I also want to say some stuff maybe you've never heard before, or at least say it in a different way. And so here's the deal. I go to these Comic-Cons, and I've been exhibiting at Comic-Cons since 2001. San Diego Comic-Con was my first as an artist, and I've been to shows since in other venues in California, of course here in Arizona, Las Vegas, Denver, Maryland. So I've been around the block a little bit, and I always pay for a table, and I always go to these shows with high hopes, first as a fan, and second as an artist. So as much as I'm drawing pictures for people and trying to sell my books, I'm buying books and accumulating pictures from some of my favorite artists. So it's a great time as a fan. That's what I want to talk about first, is how these shows are a great way to network with fellow artists, if you are one, or fellow fans, if you are one, in kind of a culture and in an environment of acceptance. I love Comic-Con for that and that alone. And I will always go to Comic-Cons because it is a place to feel at home with my inner child, my inner geek, the fan that so often consumes my life. He comes out at these shows in full force. And, you know, even from behind my table in Artist Sally, I'm talking to people about the Batman versus Superman trailer. We're talking about the anticipation behind the Star Wars film. We're talking about the Flash and Green Arrow crossover that was just on TV. Is Supergirl cool or corny? We don't know. We're talking about that stuff. And whether or not I have an Artist's Alley table between me and another fan, those conversations will always happen because it's such a great place to let that stuff out and speak the same language. At the same time, you could have moments of just quiet respite, flipping through back issue boxes, looking at old magazines, toys, merchandise, comic book paraphernalia, buying t-shirts, pop vinyl figures, handmade beanies and plush dolls that look like or promote your favorite comic book or sci-fi franchise. I love that stuff, and Comic-Con will always be a great place for that stuff. And these smaller shows like FanFest, I could not be more delighted and pleasantly surprised by the C-list celebrities that were in attendance. Denise Crosby from Star Trek The Next Generation, Tasha Yar Season 1. My brother, when I told him she would be there, said, "Oh my gosh, that's probably the first person I ever saw die." Think about that. This actress played somebody that, as young people, was the first person we cared about. We saw them die on screen. That's significant, and that's Denise Crosby to me. And so what an honor to be in the same room as her for the weekend. Dirk Benedict, the face man from the A-Team. There are probably only 5 TV shows that I have the complete series of on either DVD or digitally, and the A-Team is one of them. Absolutely one of my favorites, and one of my grandma's favorites, too. So, man, I was so delighted to be there, and so many people know him, too, from Battlestar Galactica. So for him to play these two significant roles in our culture, again, just a sheer honor for him to be there. Kevin Sorbo was there. Hercules. Now, I'm not a huge Hercules fan, but I fondly remember watching that show on a Saturday afternoon back in the day, and so many other people do. And if not for that show, we probably wouldn't know who Lucy Lawless is. I mean, of course, she probably would have found success elsewhere, but that show was a great vehicle for her, and then the spinoff Xena, of course, all comes from the charisma that is actor Kevin Sorbo. So, man, I was just so happy to be at a show where they were the stars, because they truly are stars to me. I said C-list maybe ironically or tongue-in-cheekly earlier, but these guys are the real deal, and they could not have been nicer to fans. I watched them greet each and every fan so warmly. Trust me, guys, if you see them at a show and you have the scratch, step up, meet them, and just be a part of who they are in pop culture history. Because from me, these guys are not going to be around forever, whether they retire from these shows or otherwise. So, gosh, guys, thank those actors for coming. Thanks to the Phoenix Comic-Con people for getting them. And it just makes me look forward to who's coming up in future years. So there's some praise, some talk from the heart as a fan. Now here's some talk from my brain, my head, as an exhibitor in Artist's Alley. And again, I've been doing artist alleys. I don't know what the plural artist alleys. I've been doing them since 2001. San Diego Comic-Con, Alternative Press Expo, Phoenix Comic-Con, of course, Amazing Arizona Comic-Con, Amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con, Small Press Expo. The list goes on. Big and small places I have exhibited. And so let me just be honestly critical about the Fan Fest. This was its second year, and Friday was perhaps one of the slowest days as an exhibitor I've ever experienced. Now, I sold some books. I drew some pictures for people. I collected some tips. I passed out some marketing materials about my comics. So I feel like I did my job with the crowd in attendance, and those folks that were there were all in, attentive as attendees, and fans in their own right. So, man, I can't complain about that. But it was just a slow day. It's Friday. People are still at work, still at school. The show started at 10, ended at 7. So just right off the bat, I got to talk about the time of day on Friday. If it started a little later, like at 3 o'clock, and ended around 8 or 9, I think maybe we would have seen a little boost in attendance, only because folks get off work, kids get out of school. They'd make their way over to the show. And I'll be honest with you, I probably would have pulled a half day at work, my day job here, and then gone to set up and finish the day out at the Comic-Con. So that would have been financially beneficial for me, not to mention just more realistic as far as my time investment at the show and being as productive as possible as an exhibitor behind his table. Otherwise, Saturday was a fantastic day. Booming sales, great sketches for people, memorable experiences. Sunday was so-so. Started strong. I had some momentum left from Saturday, but then the show just kind of took a slow dive downward as folks probably either ran out of money, ran out of time and left, or decided to make those bigger purchases they'd been pondering all day or even all weekend. And so as a small press or Artist's Alley exhibitor, I didn't get to see a lot of that benefit. Again, though, great conversations, great experiences. So I always just want to pepper that in, that as critical as I can be, a day at a Comic-Con is better than any day on the outside, okay? But yeah, Friday, I just got to say, perhaps that time of day needs to be reconsidered. The time of month. Now, somebody said something to me, I think it's my friend John, said that when these shows are at the beginning of a month, a lot of us are paying rent then. Now, for some of you grown-ups who own your own homes, maybe this isn't so much a factor, but for the rest of us that haven't grown up yet, or for younger fans in their late, mid, early 20s, we're paying rent at the beginning of the month. And, you know, I never would have thought of that, but that hits the personal budget. It hits the pocketbook. So when you have a Comic-Con around the corner and you've already shelled out 20 to 30 bucks to get in, whatever the cost was for the daily attendance, that's probably a significant amount of money as far as what you'd be willing to spend that weekend anyway. So just getting in is the expense that you're willing to, and then you're just there. And the rest of us exhibiting, it's like a museum to you. So I've never really thought about when these cons are at the beginning of the month, how rent could be a factor. But I think you gotta kind of take that into consideration. If your target audience is young people that, you know, are either getting into comic book culture or they've been in it for a little while, and these shows are the thing, the place to be seen. You get your cosplay out. I don't know. I think that's a variable. Also, this month is December. So folks are thinking about the holidays, and they may be acting conservatively already when it comes to their finances. Now, I heard this a lot. People are coming to Comic-Con this month to shop for Christmas. Let me say this. You don't have to pay an entrance fee at the mall. So if you're buying graphic tees or pop vinyl figures for your fellow fans, your friends that are fans, You're probably going to Hot Topic, not Phoenix Comic Con Fan Fest. That's just my estimation. Because again, if you set aside X amount of dollars to go to a Comic Con, a significant chunk of that money is just getting in. So I don't know. People were saying that as far as a benefit for the timing of the show, and I think it's actually a detriment to do it in December. Now, the weather is cooler and folks are getting out. So there is that aspect of FanFest, which is much more advantageous than the beginning of summer show, the main Phoenix Comic Con that's happening either Memorial Day weekend or the first weekend in June. It kind of goes back and forth now. So the variable of time as an artist in Artist's Alley is one that I'm considering when I exhibit at future shows. When is the show? During the year, during the month, and even the time of day. It's something to think about. Here's another potentially controversial topic that I'd like to address, and I'll just approach it anecdotally and go from there. I was walking out of the bathroom on Saturday, and the first booth I saw stepping from the restroom was one selling vinyl prints of Jimi Hendrix or framed optical illusion oil paintings where from one angle, oh, that's two women weaving a basket, and then you kind of squint your eyes and realize, oh, no, that's the face of Jesus. And similar images, similar paintings, all very beautifully done. But my question is, when you have that kind of vendor as a corner booth at Comic-Con, are you building a pillar in this place that will support a culture of comics and comics-related culture? A comics-related community? I got to find the right words for this stuff. But I think you know what I'm saying. The art I saw was basically that I see at Venice Beach or at the State Fair. In fact, the two women weaving a basket, and then you step back, and oh, that's the face of Jesus or whatever that is. Those very same paintings were at the Arizona State Fair this year. I don't know anybody that has that stuff hanging up in their house. If you do, God bless you. I'm not judging you. It's just not for me. That was being sold in a prime booth space at Phoenix Comic Con, and then just around the corner, an assembly line of caricature artists. Now, I'm a caricature artist myself. I draw caricatures freelance and at events. I get paid to do that. It's a talent that I don't find myself to be one. I'm not an expert. I'm just affordable, I guess, as far as having me at your kid's birthday. But there's also a chemistry or a formula to caricature artistry that I have not learned. I'm self-taught. Now, at Comic-Con, Phoenix Fan Fest, Phoenix Comic-Con's Fan Fest, there was a row of caricature artists just cranking these things out, $10 a piece for black and white, and then incrementally more expensive as you added color and whatnot, more people, etc. I think caricature art could have a place at a Comic-Con because political cartooning or capturing the likeness of somebody that is well-known is a part of comic book culture, comic book content and storytelling. It's an impressive art when done well, and these guys were doing it well. But pull the camera lens back. You got those. You got that assembly line of caricature artists, and then around the corner, you got the Jimi Hendrix on velvet. That's not a Comic-Con. That's a swap meet, guys. I was getting a big swap meet vibe from that corner of the show. And so I just have to ask the organizers, are you promoting a culture that is supporting the comics and comics arts in the community when I can buy velvet Jimi Hendrix there? It's just a question, but one that as an exhibitor, I need to consider your answer when I'm thinking about exhibiting with you in the future. I think that's an Artist's Alley table for you guys that aren't exhibiting there, $175. Now, when you're selling your mini comics or self-published books at $2 to $7 a piece, let's just say, anywhere in there, depending on how and where you have it published, you got to sell some books to make your table cost back and then start spinning into profit. And then you got to start spinning into that variable of time that you've spent. What's that worth? And will you ever get that back financially? You got to start thinking about those things as well as you're exhibiting at Comic-Con. I did make my table cost back. When it comes to profit, I'll have to look at the numbers again, but very little at this show. So it just makes me wonder, would it be more fulfilling an experience if I were just an attendee? And as a self-publishing comic book guy, if I pull out and others like me make these same evaluations and start to pull out as well, are we getting closer and closer to a swap meet vibe at these shows where it's becoming less recognizable as an old school Comic-Con and more just a place to go buy quote-unquote arts and crafts, things that are reminiscent and that represent pop culture but that aren't shaping pop culture and progressing it forward to find the next big thing? Is it capitalizing off of the old tropes, or is it creating a new standard that must be beat every year by a new and exciting vibe and energy at the Comic-Con? That's what I'm looking for, both as a fan and as an artist. I'm not saying that isn't happening. That's why I'm still going to these shows as both a fan and an artist, but I see it waning, and it concerns me. If you're a fellow artist like me and you've never exhibited or you're thinking about it, test your wares first at a local comic book store, or better yet, try to find anywhere but a comic book store to sell your comics. Because if you want to stand out as a comic book artist or writer, and both, be the only one in the room. Go to record shops, poetry readings, places where you can talk about your passion. That's what I've been doing for the past year, and guys, my sales have increased. I've probably sold more at other venues than I have at the venues that support comics, because I'm in competition with my fellow local artists. That isn't a bad thing, but when you want to make a couple bucks to feel good about what you're doing, you got to think about a different thing. That's my advice to up-and-comers, and those are my thoughts coming out of a show like FanFest. When fan is in the title, it makes me excited to see what the show has to offer me as one that's loved this stuff all of my life. When I don't see it there in a concentrated effort, it concerns me as an artist that wants to invest in exhibiting. So I rambled a lot, but I think I really made some good statements there at the end. I really tightened my thoughts there at the end, at the 18-minute mark of this podcast. So, gosh, I hope I gave you guys something to think about and something that we as a comic book community, not only here in Phoenix, but nationwide, can discuss as the Comic-Con becomes such a popular thing in mainstream culture. Fellow fans and artists, we don't own this thing anymore. Everybody talks about San Diego Comic-Con. Everybody knows about New York Comic-Con. These shows consume pop culture news when they're coming up that weekend, you know, that week's worth of news. So as fans and artists, we got to start thinking about whether or not we're excited to be a part of that scene, or if there's some way to take a step back and concentrate those efforts so that we get the most out of it as well as we once did. I don't know. Anyway. You want to talk about a concentrated effort. There are two young ladies in Tempe that opened a zine shop this weekend. And so after FanFest, I raced over to the east side, and I got to participate in the opening of Wasted Ink, a zine shop. What? In Tempe, Arizona. Guys, look this place up and go there. It's cool. It's old school. It's paper, folded in half, stapled. Oh, I absolutely loved it, and there were tons of people there, so congrats to the ladies that are putting this thing together, and I can't wait to go back when it was, you know, I'm going to go back when it's a little less crowded, because it's opening night, and I'm just going to shop. I can't wait to go there and check this place out, and of course, my books are on the shelf now there as well, so if you're looking for a spot to buy amazing Arizona comics or karaoke comics, I self-published that title as well, or a fanzine I made called Far and Wee, all of those books are at Wasted Ink, the zine shop in Tempe, Arizona on University Boulevard. So check that out. That's what I did last weekend. Obviously, a lot of thought went into going into and coming out of the show. What's coming up this week? Well, on Friday night at 9 The Gallery, I am co-featuring with fellow poet Bill Campana for the Caffeine Corridor Poetry Series. It's 7 to 9 p.m. at 9 The Gallery this Friday, December 11th. I'm putting together a set of poems from throughout the year. I'm writing some new stuff even this week, but it'll be a bit of a retrospective of stuff I've penned during the year. I think Bill treats the event the same way. I think it's around both of our birthdays. Bill's birthday is this month. My birthday is this month. So, man, you would be giving us a gift. Your presence. Oh, are you ready? Yes, I'm going to say it. Your presence would be the presence we would like to receive on our birthday if you come out and support local poetry in Phoenix at 9 The Gallery from 7 to 9 p.m. This Friday night. That's it. Wow, I'm feeling hoarse. I need to get a drink of water, and I probably need to get back to work. So thanks for listening to my Monday midday monologue, and I hope you'll tune in next time.